Thank you so much, Bryce. You know, your pastor and youth pastor, Bryce, is a legend in the St. Louis area among the evangelical free churches. I mean, seriously, I think the culture is one of the most vitalized and influential youth ministries in the Evangelical Free Church in St. Louis. So you're very fortunate to have him here. And it's a privilege for me to be back at Salem. I saw Connie Lacker this morning, and Connie lives right across the field. When I lived in the parsonage, we used to go over all the time and hang out at their house where Elaine and Ellen and little Bobby grew up. I saw Diane Sikora this morning, and of course, her father-in-law, George, used to be the custodian here for many, many years. And Paula Gerst, I saw her, and many, many others of you this morning that I knew from my childhood. My dad was a pastor here for 21 years, I do believe. He left in 1979, so it's a long time ago. But I grew up, and I remembered this morning sitting in this front pew during confirmation, listening to my dad preach from that pulpit, and trying to take sermon notes, because that's what we did back then. And just remembering to learn how to listen to a sermon, and all the things I learned at this place, which were part of my discipleship, which I so much appreciate in my walk and talk nowadays with Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk today about the art of Christian meditation, and I'm going to read two scriptures at the beginning, and everyone should have this yellow sheet of paper. Do you have this? If not, maybe someone could get you one. I brought them for this morning. And also, I'm going to ask Diane and maybe Paula or someone could help you, Diane, to pass out those other sheets. You don't need to do it right now, but maybe we'll do it toward the end, okay? Now, I'm going to read two passages which talk about meditation. And one is from Psalm 1, which the Psalms are books of wisdom and wisdom literature, and then Joshua chapter 1. And so if you have Bibles, you could open up to Psalm 1 right now. And out of respect for God's Word this morning, let's do something maybe a little different. And let's stand as I read the Word of God. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now that Hebrew word meditation there implies that this person is exercising a deep, serious, and affectionate thoughtfulness about the whole of Scripture. And by this it appears his delight is in Scripture. For what we love, we think about. So if you think about meditation, it's we usually meditate on the things we love. And if we love God's Word, we're going to meditate on God's Word. It says that this person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And then from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Listen for the word meditate again. As Joshua is about to go into the promised land, this is the word of the Lord to him. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the God. Let's all say, word of God, let's all say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You can sit down. So in the year 2013, I did a pilgrimage. I walked 500 miles in Spain on a path called the Camino de Santiago. I know some of you know Andrea Walters, and her brother actually lives in Spain, and he hosts a pilgrim house there where people who are walking along the Camino de Santiago, they can actually stay there and come in for a little break from their travels. But I walked this path in 2013, and the first 2 weeks, it took me about a month to walk these 500 miles. And the first 2 weeks, my son and daughter, Lydia and Paul, walked with me. And then the next week, the third week, one of the young men who had been mentored at our church as a church planter, his name is Andy Rauhut. He's a church planter in Germany. He came and walked the Camino de Santiago with me for a week. And I still remember when I first met Andy in a city called Burgos, which is the place where the famous El Cid was born. And I still remember the first day that we walked together, climbing up to the high plateaus. And one of the things I remember about that day is the sun finally came out, because it seemed like the first 2 weeks on the Camino, it rained just about every day. But as we were walking along, I asked Andy, my friend Andy, I said, Andy, you were at St. Paul's Church in 2009 for 7 months as an intern there. Of all the things you learned at St. Paul's, what was the most important thing that you learned in those 7 months? And he said, Mark, that's easy for me to give you the answer. The most important thing that I learned during those 7 months was the art of Christian meditation, when you taught me how to do Lectio Divina. So why am I preaching this sermon today? It's because I believe that what I'm sharing with you could become one of the most important tools of discipleship that you might learn in your Christian faith, in your Christian walk. This is the... And when you think about it, Andy had learned a lot about preaching. He'd learned about culture, administering a church, leadership, shepherding. But of all the things he learned while he was at St. Paul's, the thing that was most important for him was how to meditate on the Word of God. So this is the very first month of the new year, and I was excited when Bryce told me that you're doing this sermon series on prayer. Because the new year is when we have resolutions, and it's a time to get first things first in our life. And as we read in the book of Psalms, it begins with this admonition. The whole book of Psalms begins with this admonition. Blessed is the man who meditates day and night on the law of the Lord. And then from the beginning of the book of Joshua also, you shall meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. So as we begin the year 2017, I want to talk about how to meditate on the Word of the Lord. I want to talk about the art of Christian meditation. Now, sometimes when we as Christians use the word meditation, we get all creepy feelings because we think, oh, that's what they do in Eastern religions. And we don't want to be that way. But I want to tell you that Christian meditation is very different than Eastern meditation. And Eastern meditation, and I found this too as I walked the Camino, I would talk to people, why are you walking the Camino de Santiago? I'm trying to empty myself. And that's what often Eastern meditation is. It's clearing your mind. It's emptying yourself of everything. But Christian meditation is just the opposite. It's filling yourself with the Word of God. It's filling your mind with God's Word. Now, you may also say today, as I talk about meditation, you may also say, well, I have my Bible reading plan. I go to my Bible studies. So why do I need to learn about Christian meditation? The reason is that Christian meditation is different than Bible study alone. Christian meditation is meant to be formational rather than informational. Formational rather than informational. So let me explain it like this. Take your sermon section and just look at the difference between the formational and the informational reading there. Informational reading seeks to cover as much as possible. And think about, like, several years ago, our church did this thing where we're reading through the Bible in a year. You know, the goal is to cover as much as possible. But formational reading focuses on just a small portion of text, probably one or two verses. Informational reading is a linear process. Formational reading is an in-depth process. Informational reading seeks to master the text. Get this, formational reading allows the text to master us. You know, when you're preaching a sermon, you exegete the text. You want to master the text. But in this formational reading, you allow the text to master you. In informational reading, the text is an object to use. In formational reading, the text is a subject that shapes you. In informational reading, it's analytical, critical, and judgmental approach to the text. And informational, it's humble, detached, willing, loving approach. In informational reading, it's problem-solving mentality. Informational reading, it's openness to mystery. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that it's wrong to do like these Bible reading programs, because I still have my one-year Bible, and in fact, I still use my one-year Bible. There's nothing wrong with this, but what I'm saying is, today I'd like you to think about meditating on just small portions of Scripture rather than trying to digest constantly large portions of Scripture. So the type of meditation I'm going to talk about today is called Lectio Divina. It's just a fancy Latin name that means nothing more than sacred reading. With this type of meditation, the focus is on small portions of text, more emphasis on quality rather than quantity. So I want to read you something that is from a booklet that I read while I was on a spiritual retreat several years ago. When I was at a retreat trying to learn how to grow my own personal devotional life, this is what I read from this book. It's called The Sinai Experience. It says, there's no master list of spiritual disciplines. Richard Foster, you've probably read his book called Celebration of Discipline. You may have heard of it. He covers 12 disciplines. Dallas Willard mentions 15 disciplines by name. But what can be stated with certainty is that Lectio Divina, that's what I'm going to teach you today, is preeminent and to be numbered as first among the spiritual disciplines. For over 1,000 years, from A.D. 300 to A.D. 1500, Lectio Divina, or sacred reading, was understood to be one of the most important ways in which Christians experienced God. Lectio Divina is a method of reading the Bible that allows us to come to the Word that is Christ in its fullest sense, both as a book and as a person. In the practice of Lectio, we engage the text as we would engage a person, listening, responding, and being present to the person whom we meet there. So as I began to practice this type of meditation about 15 years ago, my times with God became, instead of like, oh, it's a duty to have your quiet time, my times with God became more refreshing. And I realized that because I was enjoying this so much, I needed to share it with others. So I've shared it with other pastors. I've shared it with our staff at church. I've shared it with our congregation at St. Paul's. And when Bryce and I were talking about your sermon series on prayer, I just thought, I'm going to share this with the the Salem congregation too. So it's my goal. The goal of this sermon is that each one of you would experiment with this new form of prayer during the next several weeks. From now until Ash Wednesday on March 1st, I'd like you to experiment with it. So what I've done, and Diane has these with her, so Diane, maybe you and Paula could take one side and each pass out some. Here's what I've done to help you. I've made 50 copies of a portion of Kenneth Boa's book called The Trinity, A Journal. Now, Kenneth Boa is a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he is one of the one who taught me about Christian meditation and Lectio Divina, and a lot of the things I'm going to share with you today are in his books. This book called Trinity, A Journal is currently out of print, so I've printed this for you, and I have basically included here 6 meditations on God the Father, 6 meditations on God the Son, and 6 meditations on God the Holy Spirit. So this will give you 18 meditations that you can use during the new year to practice and experiment with a new form of prayer before March 1st when Lent begins. So I hope you'll enjoy this, and I hope, you know, you can experiment with new types of prayer and new types of ways of connecting with God. I think sometimes we as Christians are afraid to do things because we don't want to open ourselves up to negative experiences or things like that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be there to watch over you. And if you approach this with the right heart, the Holy Spirit will give you the opportunity to encounter God in new and different ways. So let's get into the meat of it right now. There's just 4 easy steps to Lectio Divina, or Lectio Divina. The first step is reading, which we could also call feeding. Then there's meditation, which we could call chewing, prayer, which we could call savoring, and contemplation, which we could call filling. So the first step is called reading. We could also call this feeding. Now, when I was a boy here at Salem, we had about 8 sheep, maybe 8 to 10 sheep. My dad, you know, there's that hill back there. I lived in the parsonage where Bryce lives, and then there's that hill back there that you can't get a tractor up and down to mow it or anything. So my dad got sheep because he hated poison ivy and he knew sheep ate poison ivy. And what would happen is these sheep would go out there and they would eat in the morning. And then in the afternoon, the sheep would come and they'd lay down by the barn and they'd chew their cud. So what the reading is, it's your grazing. It's your going out and you're eating. You're eating the ivy, you're eating the grass, but spiritually, you're doing these things. It's what you do. You're filling up your belly. It's the first part of the meditation process. Very similar to sheep going out and grazing on grass. The Lord spoke these words to Joshua as he was being commissioned. He said, "Meditate on it day and night." So that's what the first step of meditation is, this grazing. So let me give you a few practical suggestions for reading, which is the first part of the meditation process. And if you like to take notes, you can fill in this form if you're into that type of thing. First of all, choose a special place and a special time. In my own life, I've found that the best way to do this is first thing in the morning when I wake up. And you have to plan to meditate, just like you plan to go to work, you plan to go to school. So you have to get up in time that you can do it. You have to maybe clear your desk off the night before. You set out your Bible. You set out which study you're going to use. So you don't arrive at whatever time you wake up in the morning and you're like, well, what am I going to do today to connect with God? You've already thought about that ahead of time. You've got your reading schedule. You've got things aligned ahead of time so that you can meet with God. So you have a place. Some people call it a family altar. But whatever your place is, it could just be a chair that you sit in. Then give your best time to God when you're the least sluggish, when you can be quiet, still, and unpressured without falling asleep. Have a systematic approach, like I mentioned, a meditation guide. Keep the passage brief. Do not confuse quality with quantity. And if you use these meditations from Kenneth Boa, you will keep them brief. And then use a prayer of preparation, Like a good prayer of preparation might be Psalm 19:14. I sometimes say this before I preach. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And so those are the types of prayers you can pray as you begin to meditate. And next, and very important, read the text again and again until you can speak it in your own words. I don't try to memorize the text, but I do try to be able to speak it in my own words. Like this morning, for example, I did a meditation. I just decided I've done 4 of Kenneth Boa's books, and there's 90 meditations in each book. But each time you do them, you can do them over and over again. Each time you do them, God has a different word for you. So today I decided, okay, I'm handing out this sheet today. I'm going to do one of these meditations this morning. So I did the one, it's on the very back from Galatians. And so before I prayed about it, or I just looked at the main thoughts. Okay, the works of the flesh are, but the works of the Spirit are. This is what it's like to walk in the Spirit. And the results of walking in the flesh and the results of walking in the Spirit. So I had 4 thoughts in my mind that I could use just to enlighten my prayers for the day. And I walked through each one of those words that described the works of the flesh, and I confessed any of that that was going on in my life. And then I looked through the fruits of the Spirit and talked about how I wanted God to reflect more of the fruits of the Spirit in my life. So it's very important. You don't have to memorize the text, but say it enough, read it enough that you can sort of just give the idea of what it was talking about. After I speak it in my own words, I ask, Lord, what are you saying to me in this passage? I try to come to the passage without preconceived conditions or expectations. Like, what did I think about last time I read it? I try to let it have a fresh perspective. This is God's time to speak to me. And finally, I allow God's word to form rather than inform me. And I encourage you to do that too. Ask God which of the fruits of the Spirit he's trying to build in you. Or perhaps on a particular day it will be patience of self-control or kindness. This is all important process of reading. So the reading is the grazing. It's going out there and you know, just getting some grass into your stomach. Okay. Now the next part is the meditation or the chewing. For the sheep, this would be the process of chewing the cud. So this is what happens with our sheep here at Salem. And they go out in the morning, they'd eat. Then in the afternoon, it started to get a little hotter. They'd lay down by the shed, and they would actually regurgitate the food they had eaten that morning. And then they'd chew it and chew it and chew it. And then they'd swallow it again. That's what chewing the cud is all about. And that's what you do with meditation. And here are some suggestions for meditation, the second step of sacred reading. As I said, it's like chewing the cud. You go over and over something that you've already swallowed so that you can fully digest its nutrients. Okay, and this is what Kenneth Boa encourages us to do. Think of which words, phrases, or images in the passage speak the most to you that day. So a while back, I was reading about springs of living water, and I drew a picture of a water fountain at the bottom of the sheet and carried that image of living water with me throughout the day. Another clue here for people say, I can't concentrate when I'm trying to have time with God. One thing you can do is you can keep a journal of some type. Write things down. Meditate with your pen in hand. When you're reading the text, circle things. Underline them. Put squiggly underlines under certain things. Because I like English, I sometimes sort of diagram the different sentences that are there, not formally, but just so I know here's the subject, here's the verb, here's the object. These types of things just help keep my mind focused on the text. Some people like to engage all five senses as they meditate on the text. For example, you've got the story of Mary and Martha. And Martha's working in the kitchen. So you could envision yourself entering into that text. You could come into the kitchen. You could smell the food cooking. You could hear the pots and pans clattering. You could even maybe walk over and take a taste of the stew that she's making and see what it tastes like. You could then say, okay, this is like my life. Really, really busy. Really, really hectic. But then you take a peek into the room where Jesus is talking to Mary, and it's peaceful and quiet, and you think, I'd like to go into that room. I'm going to leave my hectic life, and I'm going to go into this quiet room where Jesus is teaching. And so then you go in there and you meditate on what the passage that you've just read, you meditate more, and even you could pretend like Jesus is sharing it with you. Sometimes I like to put myself into the story. One of my favorite stories is on the day of the resurrection. Jesus talked to Peter and then he talked to John. And I always like to think, okay, they're on the beach. I'm going to go on a walk with Jesus. After Jesus is done with all of his disciples, I go on a walk with Jesus along the beach. Listen to him speak to me. So be aware of what works for you. Some people like to focus on the truths and the doctrines. Some people like to focus on sensory people, like to use their senses. Avoid distractions. Okay, so here's one of the best clues I can give you. When you sit down for your quiet time, keep a 3x5 card. Don't even make it be your phone where you write down tasks, because immediately when you go to your phone, you'll hit a text message or something. Just keep a blank 3x5 card, because the minute you start to have a quiet time, you're going to think of things you have to do. So just write everything you think of down and say, okay, I'll do that later. Now is my time for God. If you don't remember anything else I've taught you this morning, that's one of the most effective things that you can do to have a good quiet time and to meditate, is to just keep a card. Because we think, oh, I've got to go to the post office. Oh, I promised someone I'd do this. Write it down, and then you can do it later because you've got it written down. You will not forget. And let's see. Yes. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and you have to be aware of self-deception. Sometimes in meditation, our quest for a moving experience can lead us to self-deception or counterfeit mysticism. So we can guard against this by staying focused on the text. Just stay focused on God's word. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, it's not necessary that we should discover new ideas in meditation. It is sufficient and far more important if the word, as we read and understand it, penetrates and dwells within us. So this is the goal of meditation. It's not to get some brand new idea. It's to help the word dwell within us. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. So now we get to the third step. We've been through the feeding and the chewing of the cud. Then we get to the third step, which is prayer. We could also call this savoring. This is where we interiorize what God has spoken to us in the first two steps. So we take a look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. And when we read scripture, what's it supposed to be useful for? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we need to be prepared for God to do any of these things in our lives as we read the text for the day. So here are some suggestions for meditative prayer. Number one, write out your prayers. This has two benefits. First, it makes you say things with more precision. Also, your prayers will be there to read there again in the future. Recently, I was meditating on Job chapter 19, where Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And this was my simple prayer for the day. Lord, this is a wonderful prayer of assurance in the worst of circumstances. Job lost it all, material things, health, family, dreams. Even so, he has full assurance that in the end, you will vindicate him and redeem him. Please give me this type of faith. So I wrote that prayer down. That was my prayer sort of for the day. If you write it down, then later on you can go back and say, oh yeah, that's what God said to me today. Be open to different forms of prayer: adoration, confession, renewal, petition, intercession, affirmation, thanksgiving. And don't try to get through all parts of it. Maybe one day your heart is just, as you meditate, your heart's just going to be filled with praise, and that's all you get to in your prayer. That's okay. Ask God how to pray the scripture he's given you for the day. Next, pray it through. It says in your sermon notes, pray in through. It should be pray it through. That means you keep praying it until the message gets internalized. And finally, invite the Spirit to search, teach, encourage, comfort, and correct. So this all leads to my favorite part of sacred reading, which is contemplation. Contemplation is step number 4. We could also call it the filling. It's that wonderful feeling you have when you leave a meal with just the right amount to eat. So a while back, my son and daughter and their six kids, which are my six grandkids, came to visit us, and they stayed with us for many days. And we were having a meal toward the end of their time there, and we did something that we normally don't do at the Frizz home. I bought a prime rib of beef, and we roasted this prime rib of beef. And we sat down to the dinner, and there was enough food for everyone. And when we finally finished this dinner with like 13 or 14 people sitting around the table, I had this wonderful feeling of satisfaction. I was just filled. It was filled. And so we think of, like, even think of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's the chewing of the cud. He leads me beside still waters. So he provides the water so that you have the things to help digest the food. He restores my soul. Yeah, so this is the part where you sense, oh, I'm filled up. My soul has been restored. That empty feeling is no longer there. I have been restored. My soul has been restored. So I spent quite a bit of time when I was first learning to do Lectio Divina to try to figure out the difference between meditation and contemplation. And finally, I realized the easiest way to describe it was sitting in complete silence and waiting for Jesus. So whereas meditation is thinking about how does this passage apply to me, contemplation is more like just being there with Jesus and listening. It's not talking, it's listening. Just listening to Jesus. Like one of your worship leaders was talking about, listening to Jesus. So in your sermon section, I think you've got the difference between meditative and contemplative prayer. Meditative prayer is speech. Contemplative is silence. Meditative prayer, activity. Contemplative prayer is receptivity. And this is one thing I think that we as evangelicals just don't do enough of, is just listening. Meditative prayer, vocal and mental. Contemplative prayer, wordless and interior stillness. Meditative prayer, doing. Contemplative prayer, being. Meditative prayer is seeking, and contemplative prayer is receiving. Yeah, so it's like when Jesus met Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. There was a voice from heaven that came down and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So this is your time to listen to Jesus. And you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter was all a buzz. Oh, God, we should make 3 tents up here. We should do this. We should do this. And this voice says, "Shut up, Peter. Listen to him." And so this is your time to be quiet and listen to him. So let me share with you a few suggestions. At this point, you put your pen and your journal aside. You sit up straight or get in a position where you're not going to doze off or whatever. You know, this is not a time to slouch and to get in a position where you're probably going to go to sleep. And like I said, this is a time when you can put yourself into the Bible story if you like to do that. Or it might be a time where you just let your mind sort of relax and maybe a word or two from the passage of the day will stay with you and you can meditate on that word. I just love to put myself into the story. Like, for example, remember the story I told you of Mary and Martha before? So when I'm in a busy time, which I'm always in a busy time, I walk through the kitchen, I savor and taste all the stuff there, I notice the busyness and I think, that's the way my life is. But then I peek in and I see, oh, there's Jesus talking to Mary. And so I walk into that other room and I just sit down on the floor and I listen to Jesus. And of course he's talking about the scripture passage I've just read that day. That's what he's preaching about. And I allow him to speak to me about that passage. And then, this is the way I imagine it, that at the end of that time, Mary gets up, talks to Jesus, other people get up, talk to Jesus, and then finally everyone leaves the room, and I am there alone with Jesus. And when I'm there alone with Jesus, I say, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? And then he usually has a personal word for me for that day. Now, I'm not saying that's the way you have to do it, but sometimes that is the way I do contemplation. And I think that after I've soaked my brain in the scripture, that is an awesome way to connect with Jesus. And you know what? So often when I do something like that and take the time to do something like that, my mind is just refreshed. My body is refreshed. I read an article in the Wall Street let me see if I gave you all the... Some of you, if I don't give you all the fill-in-the-blanks, you're going to be mad with... Oh, be patient with yourself. Your mind will wander. Sometimes you even have sinful thoughts. Think of your mind like a child and that needs to be reminded to stay focused. It will become easier as time goes on. So a while back, I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal. It was about meditation, because, you know, meditation's a big deal nowadays. A lot of people are talking about meditation. It was called closed-circuit contemplation. And it was about some new electronic devices you can wear on your head to help you meditate. And what it does is it sort of measures your brain waves. And so it's got, like, the sound of waves flowing over you in the headphones. But then whenever your brain waves go into what they call the meditation thing, you start to hear birds chirping. And that's what the world thinks of meditation. Well, today, I don't want you to hear birds chirping. That's not the whole idea of this. But I would like all of us to hear more from God and allow God to form our character and direct our path in the new year. So many times when I hear God has spoken to me, I'll just put a card in my pocket and take it with me throughout the day so I can remember what he has told me. Kenneth Boas says, when most evangelicals study scripture, they typically look more for precepts and principles than for an encounter with God in the depths of their beings. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we don't like to do our quiet times. But he says, the practice of Lectio Divina can correct this lack of balance because it stresses the reading of Scripture for spiritual formation through receptive openness to God, to God's loving call of grace. So my challenge to you in this new year is to make daily Bible reading a top priority. Over the years, I've found that Christians feel guilty and frustrated about the idea of a quiet time. Hopefully today's message will encourage you to experiment once again in a new way with the art of meditation. So let me pray for all of us. Dear Jesus, our greatest desire is for a personal relationship with you. We love learning about your precepts and your principles. We love learning about all the things you've done for us and hearing the stories. But Lord, we want to encounter you personally on a day-to-day basis and have you interact with our personal lives and direct our steps and our feet. And so, Lord, we pray that as your sheep, we could go forth every day to graze and to chew our cud, and then, Lord, to sense that you are restoring our souls as we savor this food, and finally it lands in that final place where it's not going to be chewed anymore, but it's just going to give us that sense of fullness and fulfillment. Lord, I pray that for all of us, that we could experience more of you in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.